Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Wednesday afternoon, we check in with county government, and that means our great friend Marty Hawk joins us via the telephone. Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I am fine, and I know that our highway department is watching the weather just like you folks are watching it, because we know when this comes through here that there's a likelihood that we might see some trees down, some other things that the highway department will have to respond to. That was discussed this morning at the county commissioners meeting as well. So that's part of what the county responsibility is. Is to be ready to react to what happens when Mother Nature decides to come visiting. And this is just a part of what your dollars pay for in the form of your gas tax. You know, I've told you before that we have revenue that looked a little better the last a notice that we received. Looked like we were maybe going to get a bump up in that. That helps with filling potholes and so forth. But a lot of the result of storm damage can also be covered with that stormwater fee. Actually, it's a fee, but it's billed through our tax system on your tax bill, because we don't have a utility company. And they are considering raising that amount, so that hasn't been decided as yet. You know, every time we talk about government services or what happens in the normal day-to-day operation, it all comes back to where's the money come from, and it still really is coming from you, the taxpayer. So we have a great responsibility to make sure that every time we vote on every dollar spent, that you're getting a dollar's worth of service, and that's just an important part of what we do.
Absolutely. And the other thing about voting that you bring up, we heard today Connie Lawson, the Secretary of State, spoke during Eric Holcomb's, Governor Holcomb's weekly Wednesday meeting, and told everybody, the counties, that once the Republican National Convention is over and the candidates are certified, the ballots will be heading our way.
Well, and I didn't see that meeting. It didn't mean that they're going to send out ballots without verification.
No, just going to send them to the counties, just like they're just waiting for the ballots to be.
I thought maybe they changed something this afternoon while I was out showing houses. Okay, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be ready. There should not be a lot of changes on those ballots at this point. You know, that those decisions will be made, and then those ballots will be put together, and we'll see where we go on that. But one of the things that we're working on now locally is the legislation that seems to be in disagreement between the city and the county, having to do with that public safety tax, having to do with the dollars that the county had hoped to be set aside for the rural fire departments. And so we thought that the legislation was saying that each vote was going to count so much, a percentage so much, and it wouldn't be done in that block form. But now the city doesn't believe that's the case. The city believes that since we're not raising the income tax, it's just how we're going to spend it, that no longer counts, and so it would not take anything more than a majority of the city council to say, no, we're not going to give the money to the rural fire departments. So I guess we will have a good time, and lawyers can argue that out. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is that we are to have a meeting 5:30 this coming Monday with the county's portion of the Income Tax Council, and the others have been invited to join us if they wanted to, in order to vote on this resolution that says we, the county, we want to go ahead and send the money out to these rural fire departments. So I guess we'll sit back and see where all this lands. But we have the right to go ahead and vote on that to say this is where the county stands on it, even if they don't count each of our votes separately. So I don't know who will make that decision.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, or when that decision needs to be made by.
Well, there is a deadline for it to be made, absolutely, and I don't have that memorized as to that deadline. But one of the things that was going to be counted on was money for that to work on the needs from, like, there was something from Benton Township and something from Bean Blossom Township and something, I'm trying to remember some of the others, but those are real needs. And even though we have this whole reorganization with the Monroe County Fire District, those dollars are not going to be coming in the first half of next year. I remember we talked about this, I believe, a little bit last time we spoke. And so those new tax dollars that's going to be put in place won't really arrive until June of 2021. And so in the meantime, they'll have to figure out how they're going to pay the bills between January and June. So this additional dollars coming from this public safety dollars to do some of the things that they were going to do that's needed, then it just would mean they would have to borrow more money. And remember, we're all paying into that public safety tax. Doesn't matter whether you live in the city or out of the city, we're all paying into it. And so we at the county believe that we need to stand behind our rural fire departments. So we will go ahead and have our meeting 5:30 on Monday.
Okay.
And we'll see where that goes.
Now, briefly on that, when you talk about borrowing money for that 6 months, what kind of money are we talking about? Do we have any idea at this point?
Oh, it will be a great deal of money. Now, I know what they'll do. I mean, we're talking thousands. Because, remember, their entire revenue levy is supposed to be, or let me see, talking about the budgeting and the levy, it was going from, what, 3.7 up to about 12 million.
Yeah.
So it was about three times. Well, they really will only have one half of that for the entire year, because what comes in December is supposed to carry you through into the following June. So they're really working hard to crunch the numbers. They've got other people working on some numbers to present to us as well, so that we'll know just what the tax rates and so forth are going to be for individuals. We'll know what the taxes are, but we'll see how that changes for wherever township you're located in, because some townships already had a high tax rate for that and others did not. So we just want, certainly I just want, the public to be aware of what's going to happen to their tax bill so they don't come back later and say, you didn't tell us.
Yeah, they'll come back and tell you anyhow, because they don't. No one believes it till they have it in the palm of their hand, right?
Right. They also don't believe they really need fire protection until their house is on fire. So that's just like, oh, we don't need all that law enforcement until we have someone trying to break into our house. So that's the reason why you're supposed to have cooler heads prevail when we're looking at budgets and understand that there are public safety needs that we are really obligated to provide to the community. And when I say we only provide it with your tax dollar. It isn't like as if we have a money-making machine in the back. So we need to make sure that we are doing our job as best we can.
What time is your meeting on Monday? I just want to make sure people...
It's 5:30. It's at 5:30. And I think there's going to be a presentation first from some of the fire departments. I had asked maybe they might even take some pictures or a little video so people can really actually see the areas where they're talking about. You know, a lot of people are visual. They don't want to look at all these numbers, but it will be more interested if they see actually the need in picture. So of the, at any rate, to get back to the other thing that seems to be in disagreement right now is about who votes on the library budget. You know, for years and years, it has been the county council who had the responsibility for voting on that library budget. And remember, those taxes are, it's a tax rate that goes throughout the county, whether you're in the city or out of the city. It's the same tax rate that we all pay to support the library. Well, in this past legislative session, they changed who the voting body would be, the fiscal body to look at these budgets, if that if the library board was not an elected library board, if they were not elected specifically to be on the library board. So it can't even be that you were elected to be on the county council and you might try to also serve on the library board. That doesn't count. You have to be literally elected to be make these decisions on the library board. Otherwise, it comes back to another formula as to who has the binding vote for the library. And so that seems to be in people are not agreeing as to what that means. Now, there's a part of that. And you know, legislation, you have to start at the top and read it all the way to the bottom. Because there might be something in the middle be somewhat off. But a part of it was tying it to if it was in the county and if the city had more AV than the county, assessed value, than the county, then it would be the city fiscal body who would vote on that library budget. And if the county outside of the city had more AV than the city, then it would be the county. Now, whether or not that is tied to something else entirely, if that's the way it was presented to us, by all the information we have received from the DLGF and AIC. So, but then it was presented to us last night as though we were supposed to be doing this, making this decision. And so I questioned that. And so we sort of postponed and said, let's get a definitive answer as to who has this responsibility.
Where do you go to get the definitive answer, Marty?
Well, they were going to go to DLGF, but then I just got a message a few minutes ago that said that the DLGF said it was the library's responsibility to do that investigation and to make that determination. So, once again, lawyers need to be talking to the lawyers because...
What is your legal bill? That's got to be pretty strong.
Well, I mean, we have four county attorneys, so we already have ours paid for, you know, whether working on the library or something else.
Right.
But it has to be done right, because part of what this legislation says is that if we, the county, if it's presented to us and it's our responsibility to do it, and if they present it to us and we don't get it done in time, we lose any growth in our tax. We just have to go by the tax rate from the year before, and so with the library. So we have to get it right, and I'm sure they will, because we do have a deadline for that. I think that deadline's October 1. I do know that when I read it before, I checked with the assessor and I believe she was telling me that the city would have a higher assessed value than the county outside of the city. So if they use that portion of the statute that says that's what has to happen, then it would have to be the city, which is, I don't like the legislation whatsoever. I think if we're paying for this countywide, it should be the county council. We're the only, just like the other income tax, it should be the county council, because everybody, wherever you live, whether you're in the city or out of the city, you have representation on the county council. So I really think that this should say the county council, but that doesn't appear to be what the legislation says. So, you know, I don't write the legislation. I just try to follow it. And you know, others will make a decision whether or not that's the way it was supposed to be. So
we'll hang on with bated breath, and every Wednesday we'll get an update from you. I know that.
Well, and you know, it is important because they're going through all of the library. You know, they're talking about the new library branch and so forth. So it's important that people really pay attention to these things. The other thing I wanted to run by, which I thought was very interesting and disturbing information that we received from our prosecutor, and that had to do with their victim assistance program. And so she was asking for another additional person to help out there. And she said that there's so many cases that each are coming, like victim assistance person one is handling 714 cases, and a victim assistant two is handling 501 cases, general caseloads. So she's asking for another one, and
is that a normal number? Is that a way too many? Kind of too many? I'm not sure what the.
Well, they, and so Beth Hamlin, who is an assistant there at the prosecutor's office, said that she tried to look up to see what was the approved amount, and there's nothing online to tell us what would be appropriate at all. Now, the victim assistance director has 130 cases, and she handles the most serious cases, such as rape or aggravated battery or murder, and she also has other duties, such as attending the child forensic interviews at Susie's place and serving on the child protection team. So these are all important ways that we serve our community, and in this particular case, because they received a small grant in order to do this of $16,500, the additional cost would be for the county, it would be about $42,000. But it's hard not to go ahead and approve some of these positions when you see how much the problem has grown with and the need to serve people, because, and a lot of this is that they're telling us during this whole lockdown with the whole COVID thing, they're seeing more disturbances where people are not getting along so well when they're all locked up and together. So at any rate, I just wanted to share that, because so many times people think, well, where's all this money going? You can just pull that out and spend it on social services. Well, there's more than one way to provide this service, and this is what we are required to do. So I'm not sure everybody who understands when they look at budgets.
No, that's why we have you on, so you can explain it so people can get a better picture of what it takes and what the legalities are of what you have to do and what you can or can't do.
Right, and where the money can come from, and where we can, you know, this is, once you've hired somebody, you better be prepared to figure out how you're going to continue on with that salary. We're going to have a special budget catch-up meeting on Friday at noon. We still don't have the revenue numbers from the auditor's office. So
when are you going to get those?
Well, I was hoping we could have that by noon, because otherwise all we've got is all these requests. And
why do you have to hope? When should these numbers be there? Is there a legal time they have to be there by, or is it just whenever we feel like it?
Well, you know, several months ago, the auditor had indicated she didn't feel like that was their place to have to figure out the revenue. But, of course, there's a place right there on the documents that they have to fill out that says it's a miscellaneous revenue. We really need those numbers from her.
All right.
Because the way it's put together is that different departments send to the auditor what they believe their revenue is going to be for their department, for whatever they may bring in. Some departments bring in money, some departments bring in nothing. So then she goes back and reviews that and takes a look at it and sees if she believes that's the correct number. And then that department, that the auditor's office, then determines how to make that show up on that miscellaneous revenue sheet. And that is, I mean, according to the auditor's manual, that's what's supposed to happen. So,
well, if it's in the manual, I guess, yeah. What's the point of having manuals if we're not doing what's in the manual?
Well, right. So I'm just hoping that I did ask when we might receive it. She was not at the meeting, but her financial assistant, who's doing a bang-up job, she's new at it this year, and she's doing all kinds of charts and graphs and bringing us out all kinds of information. So I know that given time, she will know how to do this and might even be able to get it done before Friday. I sure do hope so.
Well, we hope you get the information you need to make the informed decisions that the county is required to make.
Right. I mean, it is your money, folks, and don't expect us to make informed decisions if we don't know how much revenue is going to be. Now, we can ourselves figure out, okay, what we think our income, not our income tax, but our property tax levy will be, and how to split that up within those things that are in the frozen levy. Those are things that, you know, actually the budget committee that we could have been having but didn't have. But anyway, those are things that we work together every year, two or three of us, to look at those numbers. And then we that goes out to the rest of the council. Jeff McKim is just like always on top of these numbers. And then we have conversation about where these numbers should be and so forth. So that's what I'm hoping we'll have by Friday so that we can make good informed decisions for the county.
All right, sounds good, Marty. As long as you check back in with us next Wednesday and keep us up to date on how all these things are going, we'd really appreciate it.
Well, and I hope that this wind doesn't blow everybody away. You guys stay safe.
You as well, Marty Hawk. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you.